The few took advantage of the ignorant many. They pretended to have received messages from the unknown. They stood between the helpless multitude and the gods. They were the carriers of flags of truce. At the court of heaven, they presented the cause of man, and upon the labor of the deceived, they lived.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found secular yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
I hope as well. Ours was not terrible.
No, we got some little snow.
Yeah, it was kind of uneventful, I would guess.
Yeah, fairly.
Yeah, hopefully everybody had good weeks.
Already said that.
No, I'm just saying not everyone did, but hopefully everyone hopefully did.
Yeah.
But anyways, with the show, please.
On with the show. We have Twitterers.
Twitterers.
New followers.
Uh-huh.
We have Joe J. Cast. I think that's how that's pronounced.
Okay.
We have Harjinder S. Kukrija.
Oh.
I tried very hard to do that one.
Oh, I so apologize on his behalf already.
We have Dandy Smurf. Hutcherson Primrose. Mirrored. Autodidactic. Sado. I can't tell. And Svetlana Kazakova.
And again, so many apologies all around for him butchering.
I'm good at butchering.
Butchering?
Butchering names.
Butchering. Yes, you're very good at butchering names.
Yes, in other words.
But it's cool.
Yeah, and you can follow us at where?
Oh, shut it. Seriously. Stop asking me.
One of these days,
all I know is secular yakking.
At secular yakking.
Okay, fine. See, I got it.
On Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
And we also have a new Patreon.
Cool beans.
Or a new patron on our Patreon.
Cool beans.
Yeah, it's the Podunk Polymath.
Oh, you said it correctly this time.
I did. I usually get it backwards and it's very weird sounding. but yeah, we were on his show a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be on our show, I think, in 2 weeks.
Well, and it wasn't released?
No.
No, on...
Wait, hang on. I got it backwards.
Okay. typical.
Yeah. He was on our show a couple weeks ago.
I was going to say, something didn't sound right.
And I think we're going to be on his show in a couple weeks. Or I'm going to be on his show. No, we. Oh, my God. I give up.
Wow, this is going well.
Yeah, I'm so confused today.
Doesn't bode well.
My brain is full of code.
Oh, yeah, studying for the exam.
Yes, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Your brain doesn't seem to be working very well lately anyway, so I think that's just an excuse.
It is.
Uh-huh.
And we did get an iTunes review-ish.
Okay, what is an review-ish?
We got 5 stars, but no feedback.
Well, 5 stars is cool. Sometimes people don't have anything to say.
That's fine.
But the 5-star rating is always awesome.
Yes, it is.
I've done that like on the app thingy. I'll just do, 5 stars, but I don't feel like saying anything.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
Hey, not a whatever. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Thank you for the 5-star review, whoever you are.
Yes, there you go. Okay. Much better.
I think that's it.
Story time now.
We can do stories.
Well, news/story time. Yeah.
Yes.
Good evening. Don't be startled, children. I will be filling in as storytime counselor. So sit back, get comfortable. My story begins on a night just like this one.
All right, this one's...
Wait. Just wait. I have to say, I did not know you were going to play that.
I know.
That just worked out so cool.
I know.
I just have to toot my own horn on that one.
Okay.
I had no idea you were going to do that.
Sure.
I'm very proud of myself.
Okay.
Okay, just had to say that.
So... science, obviously.
Obviously.
And this one is Stem Cells to the Rescue.
Okay.
On March 6th of last year, just shy of his 21st birthday, Chris Bozen of Bakersfield suffered a traumatic injury to his cervical spine. Cervical? Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that
When
again.
His car fishtailed on a wet road, hit a tree, and slammed into a telephone pole.
Ooh.
Yeah, his parents, Rodney and Annette, were warned that there was a good chance their son would be permanently paralyzed from the neck down. However, they learned that Chris could possibly qualify from a clinical study that might help.
Uh-huh.
So Rancho Los Amigos National Rehabilitation Center and Keck Medicine USC, Charles...
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, that guy.
Liu?
Liu, yeah. A director of Neuro Restoration Center injected experimental dose of 10 million...
ASTOPC1.
Yeah, stem cells. They were stem cells.
Right.
Directly into his spinal cord in early April.
So it happened on March 6th, and he got this in early April.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So 2 weeks after surgery, Chris began to show signs of improvement.
He just cannot talk.
I'm tired. Well, he started showing signs of improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 months later, he was able to feed himself, use his cell phone, write his name, and operate a motorized wheelchair and hug his friends and family.
Oh, so he was going to be
a quadriplegic.
A quadriplegic, yeah.
Yeah, because there was cervical. It's up here.
Oh, and then, yeah.
In the whatever, shoulder area.
Neck-ish area, yeah.
He had improved sensation and movement in both arms and hands. Also makes it easier for Chris to care for himself and envision a life more independently.
Wow. That's...
So this is what stem cells can do.
Yeah, and aren't there people like against stem cells out there?
Tons of people.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, the Bush Initiative on stem cells said that they could use the stem cells, but they were not to make any more new lines of stem cells.
Why?
Because they are of the belief that a stem cell is a...
How do I know where you're going?
Is a life.
Yeah, that's exactly where I knew you were going with
right,
this.
Right, that there's a soul in this stem cell.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
So the major opponent to stem cell research is the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
So
that's then again, look at the Dark Ages. Not much science either there.
True.
So, okay.
Anyway, as of 90 days post-treatment, Chris has gained significant improvement to his motor function up to 2 spinal cord levels. In Chris's case, the 2 spinal cord levels means the difference between using your hands to brush your teeth, operate a computer, or do other things you wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is cool.
That's very cool.
So stem cells, like I said, stem cells to the rescue. And we need to start pushing more stem cell research.
Yeah,
But we need new lines of stem cells.
Right, you can't...
The ones we have they're like 40, 50, 40 years old or something like that.
I was going to say, you can't just stop, you know, researching new things. You know, the whole thing of science is to keep testing and testing and testing. You don't ever stop trying to test something.
Right. Well, the sad part is there's tons of stem cells out there, right?
Uh-huh.
But they get thrown away.
That just seems irresponsible.
The extras from in vitro fertilization.
Uh-huh.
Those could be harvested for stem cells. But they get thrown away. Because, because of the law that says they can't make new ones.
Wait, is this a national law?
Yes, it's a Bush era law. And Obama never...
I was going to say, why is that still in place?
Obama never fixed it.
Well,
And I'm pretty sure Trump's not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, right. Don't even get me started on that. But that seems like a huge mistake. I mean, that seems like that's going to set so many things back medically that, you know, in all that time frame, you could be making some really big strides. I mean, they were successful to do this. I mean, who's to say?
Well, stem cells have been... shown to do some progress with Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, uh-huh.
I think that's what I read. I'm not an expert on stem cells by any means.
No.
But I'm pretty sure I read something about that.
Uh-huh.
And,
Well, that's what I mean. I'm just thinking of all the things that they need to test to see what it could be helping.
Right. And because they have limited numbers of stem cells, mm-hmm. you know, they can keep replicating, but...
You need new, fresh stuff. You need
new lines that are different.
Right.
So maybe a different line will do something better.
Yeah, it's like you can't repopulate the earth with 10 people.
Pretty much. That's kind of what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, that is cool. And do they think that his progress will continue to improve?
That's what it sounds like from the report.
Or does he need more cells, basically?
Well, he might, he might not. It's still really experimental what they did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully... Not only does he hopefully improve, but it's awesome that he can do what he can do. I mean, considering what he was facing. And God, to just turn 21.
Yeah.
I mean, that really sucks.
Yep.
Anyways.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to something that's going to make you angry, though.
I was going to say, happy story?
Yeah.
What?
No. The next is certainly...
I was going to say, because according to that little title thing, that doesn't look very happy story.
A World of Faith Fellowship Church. That's all I need to say.
It's Word, not World.
World, Word, whatever.
Yeah.
I butchered a word.
Just shut up and do the thing.
A small cult in Spindle, North Carolina is under investigation for allegedly abusing its members. Surprise, okay. Surprise, surprise.
Uh-huh.
Congregants of the Word of Faith Fellowship were regularly punched, smacked, choked, slammed to the floor, or thrown through walls in violent form of deliverance meant to purify sinners.
Oh, so it's like a rougher version of demons be gone kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Rougher being very, very whatever.
You just, what, very?
Yeah. So a lot of this comes straight from the Associated Press release on this because there's just so much.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of this is going to come straight from their report.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I'm just going to kind of get into it.
Uh-huh.
43 former members told the Associated Press with separate and exclusive interviews how bad it was.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
One said, it wasn't enough to yell and scream at the devils. You literally had to beat the devils out of people, said Rick Cooper, 61, huh. A Navy vet who spent 20 years as a congregant and raised 9 children in the church.
Oh, that's terrible. That's abuse, but yeah.
Yeah. Another one, Liam Guy, said, we were warned to keep abuse to ourselves. If we didn't, we knew we would be targeted. You lived in total fear. And he left after 25 years.
That sounds like an abusive relationship on a larger scale.
Yeah. Well, there's some interesting rules that they have. And these are, okay. I'm going to start with the nice ones. Okay. Nicer ones.
Okay.
Congregants need permission from leader Jane Wally and other ministers to get married. And it can take months or even a year before the newlyweds are allowed to have sex.
And how do they dictate that they didn't?
I'm
just saying.
No one is allowed to date without permission, and most relationships and marriages are arranged by Wally and the ministers.
Interesting. Why would you join this shit?
I don't know. On their wedding night, couples are permitted only a godly peck on the cheek.
Say what?
And when they get in bed together, they must roll over and go to sleep.
And again, who is dictating this? Who's peeking in the windows?
I wouldn't doubt that they have cameras.
And again, as I said before, who the fuck would join this shit?
Okay. For all married...
Voluntarily, no less. Just right, saying.
For all married couples, lovemaking is limited to 30 minutes. No foreplay is allowed. The lights must be turned off and only the missionary position is sanctioned.
Okay, sure. I got nothing to say.
Okay. Couples need permission from church leaders to have children, and leaders dole out condoms to make sure unapproved women don't get pregnant.
And again, why the hell would you join this shit? And how do they police it?
I honestly don't know.
Really, well, curious to know
when
that
you,
part.
When you run a cult of fear, all you have to do is ask. One of the partners is going to be honest because they live in fear.
That's insane.
Right?
It's literally insane.
But it does get worse.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
One of the former members interviewed by the AP said he was sexually assaulted by a church member in 2009 when he was 15. Jesus. Man, whose name won't be released, said Wally convinced him not to go to authorities by telling him he would be forced to relive the terrible details in court. So this leader, Jane Wally, I think is how it's pronounced, told him not to report this pedophile rape.
Uh-huh.
Because he'll have to relive the whole situation when he retells it.
So there's admittance that it was wrong in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that he shouldn't be doing this to someone, and it's obviously a power trip, and it's just, it's disgusting. Oh, I mean,
we're,
and how was this guy allowed to do this for so
woman.
Long? I was going to say, is this a woman?
This is a woman. Yeah.
For so long?
Cult leader. That's all. Cult leader.
I can't get the Kool-Aid.
We'll get to that.
I don't get it.
She also condoned the molestation of a 13-year-old girl by a church leader. She said...
Doesn't surprise me.
This is what she said. She was 13, but she looked 20.
Seriously?
And that the girl was partially responsible because she had been sexually assaulted by a family member.
Oh, and that was her doing as well.
Yeah, obviously, because she looked 20.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. This woman is insane.
You think?
Okay. She enjoyed seeing and hearing about the violent demon removals. She would ask, did you throw her on the ground? And when the person says, yes, we got the demon out, Jane would say, I love it. I love it. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. And why did nobody look at her as the possessed? Because she sounds like she's the possessed.
Because she's the mouth of God.
But couldn't it be God testing them and they're getting it wrong?
Not according to this.
Well,
this is the problem with cult leadership.
I'm looking at it from their point of view. They're in this cult and everything and God this, God that, whatever. I'm surprised that logical part of the brain putting it into their terms isn't saying, well, what if God is testing us and not looking at it? Maybe she's the one that's possessed, you know, trying to put some like logic into it, but yet still with the religious aspect of it, which is like really hard to do.
Yeah. In this situation, don't even try.
Yeah, I know it hurts.
So for several years, men and boys perceived as the worst sinners were kept in a 4-room former storage facility in the compound called the lower building. They were cut off from their families for up to a year. Never knew when they would be released and endured especially violent and prolonged bleedings and blastings.
It was beatings, not bleedings.
Well.
You said bleedings.
Whatever.
Get it right.
Anyway.
Anyways, where is the authorities?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
That's part of the problem. This is why I wanted to highlight this horrible piece of shit. Because
I'm like blown away
church.
Right now.
Then we get to their school.
Wait, the school too?
Yeah, they have a
private kind of school thing going. Yep.
Half of the members, ex-members interviewed said that they themselves were hit dozens of times as students with wooden paddles and other objects, leaving deep welts, cuts, lacerations, and other bruises that often made it difficult for them to sit or walk.
Wow.
Would you like to know why they were punished?
Sure.
Smiling too much or not enough.
And their children.
Yeah. Fidgeting in their seats.
And their children.
Answering a question too slowly.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, children have... scientifically have very short attention spans.
Yep.
So they tend to get restless.
Yes, they do. But, you know, can't have that. That's the devil. Most of those interviewed said all it took to prompt a beating was for a teacher to believe a student was possessed by demons.
So not only is this lady running the show, but there's all these other adults doing this to the children as well.
Correct.
It's like they're all fucking nuts.
Yes. 14 of those interviewed reported being blasted or beaten by classmates or having witnessed such attacks. Violent behavior, they said, was sometimes encouraged by their teachers, including Whaley, whatever her name is.
Uh-huh.
This is a quote from Rebecca Milo. I can't tell you how many times in the middle of class, one child would turn to the other and say they have demons and the others will surround the child. They're thrown to the floor and they're beaten. We're told not to stop.
Jesus.
So... It's like the Salem witch trials, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking about, actually. Funny you said that.
If you don't like somebody, just, oh, they're demons.
Just point fingers.
Yeah, point fingers. They're uh-huh. demon over there, and it's a beating.
Yeah.
An instant beating by everyone.
In this day and age?
Yeah. Natasha Cherubino and her husband, Tiago.
Anyways.
Recall the time their 6-year-old was giggling in school in a class, and the classmates surrounded her. They started praying for my daughter and grabbed her by the neck. They started strangling her.
Jesus Christ.
John Cooper, who spent a few years working as teacher's aide in Jane Wally's class, the cult leader, said Wally encouraged the violence and warned students not to say anything to their parents.
Again, why doesn't anyone see that as wrong?
Yeah. Children were beaten in bathrooms for giving in to the unclean.
Say what?
Giving in to the unclean, a catch-all phrase covering a wide array of sins. One boy was pinned to the floor and beaten for over 30 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, let me back up a bit. Because of all these beatings and whatnot, 1, social services, 2, police, 3, if any of them had to go to hospitals or anything for their injuries, hello?
Okay, this is where it gets really, really worse.
Okay.
We're done with the child beating, but we're getting to your questions.
Okay.
The authorities have been trying to make a case against the cult and the leaders for 2 decades.
What do you mean trying?
But each time they got close, the members wouldn't cooperate or change their stories.
Who gives a shit? They have evidence on the kids' bodies.
They coached members on what to say to investigators anytime they came under scrutiny. Frank Webster and Chris Back, church ministers who handle criminal cases as assistant DAs, for 3 nearby counties, provided legal advice. So these are people that would have normally been investigating them.
Uh-huh.
But instead, they're providing legal assistance to the members.
The abusers.
Yes. And coaching the abused on what to say.
On how to hide it.
Right. So that's how they hide it. So you got to think. They're
still confused.
So these kids go to this private on cult school. So right. they don't get that.
It's making me think of the down in southern Utah, the Mormon.
Similar kind of situation.
Yeah. Anyways, just right. not that abusive. I mean, yes, abusive, but not like this. You were saying?
Yeah. They provided legal advice, helped at strategy sessions, and participated in a mock trial for the four congregants charged with harassing a former member.
Say what?
So these two lawyers who work for the DAs in surrounding counties, so okay. district attorneys who would be prosecuting right. this kind of stuff, they're helping them get out of these charges.
So where's the police coverage authorities?
If there is no complaint, the police can't do anything.
Even if they have evidence if they can see that there is abuse of a child, you have the right to take them out of that home.
But the problem is they're not getting to see the children.
But what about, like, Child Protective Services?
They're not able to see the children. They're
bullshit.
I agree.
Child Protective Services can come into your house anytime that they find evidence not even evidence, just are reported or suspected of something going on.
Well, the problem is even when they do this stuff, nothing ever comes of this. But it finally has, now that these former members have started coming out and talking about it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this has been going on for decades.
Yeah,
this apparently. Woman is, I think it said she's in her 80s.
Tell me she's still not doing it.
Oh, yes, she is.
How is that possible?
She's still doing it.
And how hasn't anyone taken a board to her head?
She's a cult leader.
Yeah, that's my point.
Okay, why didn't someone take a board to Jim Jones's head before he poisoned everybody?
Because I just can't get on board with the Kool-Aid, that's why.
I know that.
I can't see it in that aspect, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get that mind-washed, brainwashed, psycho, I believe everything you tell me crap.
Well, the problem is they're completely isolated. They're on a 35-acre complex protected by tight security and
trees. I can't say for sure because I've never lived in a completely secured, you know, environment like that, you know, secluded environment like that. But I still can't imagine myself buying that wholeheartedly, even being in the middle of it. I would think there's a part of me that just wouldn't agree with that in some way, you know, couldn't go along with it completely.
Yeah. So part of the problem is the obviously part of it's brainwashing, right?
Right.
The other part is abject fear.
Yeah, I could see that.
So if you have kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're afraid that it's going to get worse if you leave.
For your kids, right?
Uh-huh. Right. And so that has a lot to do with it. With these insular communities, that's really what it comes down to.
I guess I would look at it from like an abusive, you know, you have an abusive spouse situation. I would take my kids and run.
Right. But not everybody can do that.
No, I mean,
and some people,
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people that need that sense of community. And that's
that's the other thing. I have a hard time looking at it that way because I don't.
And the problem is once they get sucked in, it's almost impossible to get out.
Yeah.
Because it sounds good on the surface before you get in there. You know, all those sounds really cool. It's fun. Come live on a compound.
We'll give you cookies.
Right. Uh-huh. And then the beatings start and it's too late.
Uh-huh.
You can't leave. You have nowhere to go. You've been cut off of your family.
I think my biggest mind boggle on this one is the outside authorities.
Not being able to stop.
I still don't buy that. I just don't. Not for that long.
Well, they've been
trying and investigating for that long.
Right. They've been trying to get enough evidence to make something stick. They couldn't make anything stick because no one would say who was doing it.
Okay.
And then it would always be like, oh, we fell down the stairs type thing. Right?
Yeah, I know that. But I'm sorry. I look at, you know, when you take your kid to the doctors or the hospital or something.
I don't think they take them.
And you say, you know, because they fell down the stairs, when they suspect something. I understand that they probably have their own private doctors that they bring onto their land or whatever.
Right.
But I know, you know, as I taught childcare for years and years, and we legally, if we suspected anything, had to report it no matter what.
I'm aware of that, but that means someone has to actually see it. And if they keep them locked up on the compound all the time, no one else goes out. If they have a doctor on site,
I wasn't even thinking just doctor. I mean, I was initially, but I was thinking just even going off the compound and running errands type thing. And
you don't take the injured kids out of the compound.
Yeah, I suppose.
You have things delivered.
Yeah, right? I suppose.
And the only people who leave the compound are the leaders.
The adults, yeah.
Not even the adults, but the leaders.
Yeah.
And that's how you keep it
a cult community. I still find it mind-boggling that a woman is running the show.
Yeah, well.
What the hell is up with her?
I don't know.
I mean, that's so uncharacteristic for a woman to run a show like that.
Hey, we're all for equality around here.
No, good and bad. But no, I mean, I know that it, you know, we're fully capable of it, but just on a psychological aspect, it's not normal by any standard. Well, not that something like that's normal anyways, but your typical textbook aspect of it is way out of the textbook on this with her. I think that's one of the other things that's kind of like throwing me too.
Yeah. And it's insane.
And 80 and still kicking for it? That's just 80-ish. Weird.
I don't remember
exactly. I don't care what she is. She's old and she's still gung-ho about this.
Obviously. I think she has some
severe... Screws loose? Yeah.
Some severe mental issues, especially if she finds enjoyment out of hearing about it.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. Even, you know, all those years back when she was younger, she got enjoyment. It was like a thrill. I mean, I watch enough things and read enough things that technically that usually means there's screws loose, basically. There is a chemical imbalance that is shooting off in her head that is making her enjoy that, and it's not normal.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like psychotically not normal.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy.
Anyways.
Yeah.
We'll move on from that.
All righty.
So this week we have an yakking session.
Yes, we do.
With Corey Johnson of the Brainstorm Podcast.
Mm.
No, you weren't on this one.
Okay.
No. You were sick that week.
Oh, okay. I was like, was I on this one?
No, we were both sick, but I went ahead and did the...
Oh, yeah. Because, like, that sickness train wouldn't leave the house. It was driving me crazy.
So we get into some history of a show and cover how separation of church and state is different in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had a good time on this interview. So let's just ramp it up and get it rolling.
Alrighty.
All right. Looks like that one is going, and then we'll hit this one. All right. Looks like we're recording. Excellent.
Perfect.
All right. So I'm just going to get rolling right into it.
Okay.
And welcome back to another yakking session here on Secular Yakking. Joining me today is Corey Johnson, host of the Brainstorm Podcast, Saskatchewan's first skeptic and atheist podcast. Welcome, Corey.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we finally got it together, and we can actually talk to each other.
Yeah, we'll get this going, eh?
Yeah.
Actually have a recording work.
Yeah. That'd be nice. So, why don't you do a short introduction of yourself, and let's talk about the Brainstorm Podcast and what it is.
Okay, yeah, I guess I'm just Corey Johnson, just a regular guy. I don't have any formal background of education, or like I'm not an academic in any sense, but I have over the years, I think, developed a pretty decent ability to sift fact from fiction. And the Brainstorm Podcast, I guess, is kind of part of my own personal evolution to that, and as well as our mine and my my friend's way of helping to spread that education and critical thinking to a broader audience, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I like the show. I like the way that it sounds, the groove and the flow that you guys have. It's like you guys have been doing it for years.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in a sense we have been. We've over 3 years now.
3 years
doing the show, and yeah.
Wow.
And some of us, like, we've known each other for so long that we kind of, I guess we can feed off each other's cues pretty easily.
Yeah.
We know how we think.
Yeah. Because it sounds like a bunch of friends sitting around just talking. I mean, which is really cool. Because that's what a podcast of this nature should be about. I mean,
yeah, it's nice because actually it gives us an opportunity to kind of discuss things a little deeper than, you know, your average chit chat.
Right.
And then even if we disagree, like we're in.
You still there?
Uh-oh. Did we lose each other?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in person. So even if we disagree, we still kind of have to look each other in the eye and disagree and, in a sense, be respectful and still walk out of that. They're friends.
Yeah. I certainly get that. I've had conversations like that before, and it's always been pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what about the name? I kind of like the name Brainstorm. How did you guys come up with that name?
it's actually a really lame story. Like we were just brainstorming ideas, and I said, oh yeah, well, I shot out some ideas, and I said, I'm just brainstorming here. And actually Gumby, one of the co-hosts, he's just like, whoa, why don't we just call it Brainstorm? Okay, yeah, no, that works.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely works. I mean, it fits how your show goes, so I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't really stick to any one thing ever.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, you guys are kind of all over the place and taking all sorts of tangents, and it's like, but that's what makes it fun to listen to, you know?
Yeah, I guess it adds a bit of personality to the show.
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, there's some shows out there that are just, you know, straight on just talking about the initial topic, and sometimes that's good. It's great to hear that, but sometimes you want to hear that tangential thing that just pops into somebody's head, and that's really great to hear.
yeah, where we don't really stick to any one thing.
Yeah, you know,
I was just gonna say I do try and give it a certain like direction,
right?
But yeah, most of the time the conversation takes a direction of its own. So
yeah, absolutely. And with that, how do you manage with such a large crew? I mean, I have issues keeping up with two or three when we do our show. I mean, you've got a pretty sizable cast.
Yeah, I think part of it is just is being in the same studio. And I guess to some extent, like, I've been doing it long enough now, and I've kind of said, okay, well, I will direct what we're doing, and everybody kind of looks to me for to do that. So if I guess, and we do get people talking over one another once in a while, but for the most part, it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it flows pretty good. You obviously know what you're doing with that. So kudos to you.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, it's a really good show, and I like listening to it when I can. I don't claim to listen to all the shows because it's damn near impossible to do that. But, you know.
Yeah, that's I listen to so many shows that I ultimately the only ones I listen to every episode, and I can't even actually say that I listen to every episode, are the ones I'm a patron for.
Right.
So and I even miss those ones sometimes when I'm giving the money. So
yeah, I do the same thing. It's like, oh man, now I got to make some time to go listen to that, because most of my listening is drive time. So I have an hour's commute, so I can get most of my podcast in, but not always.
Yeah, when I'm working, because my shift is 7 days on, 7 days off, but I have a 2 hour commute to work and a 2 hour back.
Wow.
On my 7 days on. So I get a lot of listening time on when I'm working, but then when I'm on days off, I have almost no time at all to listen. So I'm doing catch up every week.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Absolutely. So you have quite a crazy work schedule there. Do you have time to do other sorts of activism?
I have, but I learned pretty quick that a lot of life things take a hit, eh? Last year in 2016, I organized my province's first secular conference.
Cool.
And yeah, it was really rewarding. It was a really cool event. It was an amazing experience, but it took a lot away from my personal life and my time with my kids and my girlfriend. And so I haven't had a chance to organize another one for 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get that. I've been involved in a couple conferences, and they do take up a great deal of your focus.
Yeah, for sure. It would probably be better if I was like more of a managerial type person, where I'm a do it type person. So if something needs to be done, I'll just go and I'll figure out how to do it, and I'll do it. Where organizing a conference, you need to be able to delegate. You need to be able to say, okay, well, you can figure this out, and you can figure that out.
Yeah.
And I'm not that type of person.
Yeah. I totally get that concept. I truly do.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It seems really weird to me to tell someone else what to do when I know in my head what I want to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like you said, that's that doer coming out in some of us. I've got the same problem. I just want to go do the things, and, you know, hopefully someone will, my concept is hopefully someone will see me doing the things, and then they'll want to do things too. So
Right, right, yeah. And they'll be able to figure out how to do the things because they saw me do them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a interesting mental state we get ourselves into. But that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get into who Corey was before Brainstorm. Were you ever a believer? I mean, do you have an interesting or even a boring coming out story?
I guess I have what I consider a boring coming out story. I was never really a religious person per se, but I did grow up in a household where my parents, when I was about 15, they became like born again Christians, eh? Oh. And as a result, I kind of rebelled against that and went into like really weird pagan type, almost make it up as you go beliefs. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Richard Bach. Mm. He wrote the Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and another book is Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah.
No, those aren't familiar to me. I'll have to go look them up.
It's very Deepak Chopra-esque type thinking, like the world is what you imagine it to be, and if you believe hard enough, then you can make it that way.
Maybe I won't go look them up.
Yeah. I mean, they're interesting to read because they're written as stories, but it's not going to be helpful as a philosophy.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't give you the tools to deal with the real world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I sometimes like to make fun of Deepak Chopra's sayings because they're just so crazy.
Oh yeah. And most of it doesn't actually even mean anything, right? He's just making things up.
Yeah. It was
using fancy words.
Yeah. Like that movie, The Guru.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost exactly the same. So yeah.
Yeah. If it sounds profound, it must be profound, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's, yeah, it's not terribly interesting as far as coming out stories.
Well, we all have them. You know, so.
Yeah. When I hit around 30, I started going through like a crisis of self. And I started trying to do as much as I could to improve myself. And part of that was learning. And then I really, the more I read, the more YouTube I watched, the more I educated myself, then that's when I started calling myself an atheist and rather than agnostic. I always committed to the agnostic title before that. And yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of us went through that phase. We didn't want to be seen as necessarily atheist, so we stuck with the agnostic.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like the innocuous middle ground, right? Like
right.
You just kind of, oh yeah, well I don't know for sure, so I'm agnostic.
Right.
But yeah. So then I started calling myself an atheist around 30, and then I really started embracing skepticism not long after that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple YouTubers that really, really did it for me. Potholer 54 was really good on science stuff.
Right.
And there was one that, Qualia Soup is what it was.
Right.
As really good stuff for skepticism. I was, that really helped me learn some critical thinking skills that I hadn't really had before.
Yeah, those are definitely good channels. I've watched a bunch of their stuff, so it's kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one video I remember in particular, like that actually I think it called itself Skeptic or how to or what skepticism or whatever, explaining skepticism from Qualia Soup. And I think I've shared for the first 5 years, I shared that probably 3 or 4 times a year after from when I watched it till 5 years later.
Yeah.
Like it just every chance I got, I shared it. Every time it popped up in my feed again, I was like, yep. Yeah, this has to be out there again.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that needs to be shared over and over again. Cause really that sort of topic is timeless. It's something, something that we can always go back to and say, oh yeah, I should have been, this is how I should have been doing this thing that I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like politics or like something where you're talking about the current events. You're
right.
Just talking about a concept and it's, if it's done well, it can be really useful for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was another question I've always wanted to ask a Canadian, and that's that's how different separation of church and state is here and there. I know that you guys don't have a strict and and laid out separation. Right. So could you explain that for my listeners?
Yeah, I guess ultimately we don't have an official church-state separation. There's no everybody is in our Constitution or in our Bill of Rights. You have the right to believe whatever you want or follow whatever religion you want. We have the freedom of religion, but there's no separation from a particular religion and our government. And in fact, we have a system set up where our government pays for a separate Catholic school system for elementary and high school kids.
Really?
Yeah. Like, at least here, you can designate where your property tax goes. So either you're putting money into the public system or you're putting money into the private system. Huh. But either way, it's going into the government and then back out to a different a Catholic school.
Interesting.
Yeah. And actually, we actually still have blasphemy laws on the books, though they're not enforced.
Right.
And I mean, there's an organization, the Canadian Secular Alliance, right now that is... they're really pushing against, they're trying to get those pulled out of the books, like repealed, I guess would be the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our separation of church and state is one of more of a apathetic populace rather than a, a actual active government separation.
Which brings up an interesting point of the difference between the way our system works and your system works. We seem to have the biggest issues here with actually enforcing separation church state because we have that law in place, but you guys don't seem to have the same issues we do with religious intrusion into government, into schools, and all this other stuff that we have to deal with down here.
Yeah. I think I might have mentioned this to you in a conversation before. It was like, I think part of that is because of that separation, that active separation, the one side, they push against it so hard that they have to have religion in every aspect of that life because the government says they can't.
Right.
Like, yeah. They got to force it on everybody because the government says they aren't supposed to be able to.
Yeah. You know, there are some days that I wish we had a system similar to what you guys have up there. Then my life would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
at times, anyway.
Somewhat anyway. Yeah, somewhat anyway. Yeah, no, there's definitely, it seems like there's less of a need for activism in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, the premier of my own province, Saskatchewan here, he's a very religious man, and they still pray at the start of every legislative assembly. And we, like those of us who are secularists in Saskatchewan, we are trying to push back against that kind of thing and fighting against that because I think it's wrong. I think it should be there, but at the same time, it's, if you're talking to a person one-on-one or even as a group, you might never hear anything religious mentioned. So it makes like day-to-day life pretty easy.
Yeah. Certainly sounds like it. Of course, you guys have considerably less population than us. So that makes a big difference too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think my entire province is just over 1 million people. So,
so yeah, that's the slightly larger than the whole state of Montana.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's we've got a ton of open space here.
Yeah, which I do like. I like open space.
Oh yeah, no, it's nice.
Yeah.
I guess I grew up in it, so it's looking out into an open field is kind of like home to me. So
right. Yeah, I wish I had more open space where I live, and you know, one day I'll actually get to go and move to some more open space. So
yeah, it's nice. I mean, I just moved to the capital of Saskatchewan here, Regina, not a few months ago, and I'm starting to get a handle on the traffic and whatnot. But the town I used to live in only had 10,000 people, so
it's a big change.
Yeah. I'm living in a place that's got, well, I mean, it's still not a lot compared to like real cities because we're still only at 200,000 or something.
Right.
Or maybe 250,000, but it's compared to 10,000, it's a big difference.
Yeah, that is a big difference. I kind of made a jump like that too. I came from, I lived in eastern or western Montana for a few years, and then I moved to Seattle. Wow.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that was a huge culture shock.
Right, eh?
Oh, man.
The yeah, traffic. Seattle's like a real city. Like, yeah. That's a big place.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know, you know, you talk to people and they talk about driving in these big cities like, oh, well, I went down to L.A. and I drove in L.A. and I'm just like, I can't even imagine.
No, you don't drive in L.A. You crawl in L.A.
Right. Yeah. It's bumper to bumper the whole time. Yeah. Eh?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I haven't been to L.A. and I don't really want to go, but yeah.
Right.
Seattle's about as much as I want to do.
Yeah.
So one of the questions I always ask my guest on the shows is, what is your favorite movie quote? I think it gives an insight into the kind of movies people watch and people watch regularly and over again, gives an insight to who they are. So I usually ask that.
Okay. I knew you were going to ask this and I did look it up, but I can't remember it word for word, but it's from Fight Club.
Okay.
And it's the, you are not your khakis, you are not your job, you are not the things you own, you are a walking, talking piece of shit.
Right. Like, yeah, I remember that quote. Yep.
Yeah. That one always really struck me. I like the idea that, I mean, maybe not that we're just giant pieces of shit, obviously, but that we aren't the things that we do necessarily.
Right.
We're not our jobs. We're not what we present to certain aspects of society.
Right.
And I think part of it really strikes home for me is that I have a job in the oil industry in Saskatchewan, and I am to a degree only doing that job to fund the life of the person who I really am.
I definitely get that. I think so many of us do that anyway.
Right.
You know, most of us, I think majority of people actually sit in jobs they don't really enjoy so they can go do the things they do enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the whole working culture now,
right.
I think.
Yeah, just get through the day, get to the weekend, and then we'll be good, right?
That's right.
That's the general mentality of the average human today.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, as a movie, that Fight Club really appealed to me.
Yeah.
And the book is amazing. Chuck Palahniuk is a very interesting writer. So.
Yeah, I thought Fight Club was a really good movie. I don't want to do any spoilers, but if you haven't seen it by now, too bad. The ending right, was really cool. I mean, the whole idea.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Yeah. No, it was super interesting, like especially the first time anybody's watched it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was like, whoa, the hell?
Yeah.
He's him.
Yeah. I guess I haven't mentioned this part of my past, you know, on any other shows yet, but there was a time in my life when we did a lot of drugs, me and my group of friends. And I watched Fight Club every day, multiple times a day. And we were high on ecstasy every time we watched it.
Well, that's kind of an interesting.
It was. Wow. So, you know, it kind of, I guess maybe that combination really ingrained it into my head as this epic movie for me. So
it very well could have. I mean, it's a great movie, but then you add a bit of ecstasy on there and it becomes an awesome movie.
That's right. Yeah. And then every time you bring somebody new to see it and they're like, oh, wow, that was so cool. Yeah. It was just a constantly great experience every time we watched it. So. Yeah,
I could imagine it becoming your favorite very quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, cool. So if our listeners wanted to catch your show or get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, we're on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spreaker under Brainstorm Podcast. And we have our website. It's brainstormblog.net. And actually, we just got a new app for the Android device. So that's super cool.
Oh, that is cool. I like apps and I like Android. Yeah. So I'll probably go get it.
Cool. Yeah. No, it took me some getting, took some figuring out. And then after I figured it out, we were having troubles with the website. I got those figured out. So everything should be working now.
Very cool. Well, I'll put those links in the show notes so that everybody can go find them.
Awesome.
And then, this has been a great conversation. Nice yakking session with you.
Oh, thanks for giving me a shout. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Cool.
All right. All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that interview.
I hope so as well.
Yeah. But with that, that's all the yakking I got tonight.
That is all the yakking I have as well.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.